Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
6:02 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn on his Taco Tuesday. What do you drop over there?
No, so I didn't put my spit guard on my you know, the condom on the mic.
You don't spit.
Yeah. Anyway, so I turned my mic off and Joe noticed that the mic was off, so he turned it right back on. And I was like, because I didn't want to make any sound, you know, all that muffling and...
Yeah. And this is how it's been the entire, pre-show. Jeremy the entire, he's happy Jeremy today. I don't know what happened to him last night.
I do.
He is happy Jeremy today. He's bouncing all over the place. Yes, he's actually smiling right now.
I think it's in my system still.
That's no doubt.
Yeah,
I mean, this is good Jeremy day.
Because I hit that thing twice yesterday. Because I got
you should have brought him to work with you so we know it lasts the entire 4 hours.
I got home and I took 120 a milli, and then later on I'm like, you know what? It's five. Let's drop another 80 and see what happens.
You
and
took 200.
Yeah, yesterday. But I used to
don't they give sick people that kind of medicine?
Yes.
Rob, I'm sick. Demented. I came and sorry. But no, like maybe that's why I'm smiling coming in. I don't know.
Yeah, you were different disposition about you today. It's cool.
Maybe it's just like F everything. Who cares? Well, the Knicks won, Ed.
They won. They went down 20. They come back.
Sons of bitches.
In Boston.
Send it to overtime when I have the under. Thank you.
In Boston.
It's a big win. Yeah. But as somebody said, it might be their last one. I don't know about that. Because
everybody's going to say that.
Because no. I was reading something yesterday from a guy who's doing some gambling stuff. And he's like, Jason Tatum averaged more points against the Knicks than any player averaged against any other team this year. And he's going, his prop is only 26 in the postseason. And I'm going, yeah, there's a reason why. Because now they're going to put OG on his ass the whole game. Mm-hmm. He's still going to score, but he got 23 with an overtime.
That's it, yeah.
And on top of it, look at the total in this game.
And OG at 29.
Yeah, see? Look at the total in this game at like 207. And when they played in the regular season, it was probably like 238.
Can I tell you why this is not going to be the Knicks' only win for this series? I'm not saying they'll win the series. They got this guy named Jalen Brunson.
He's bad.
who's not going to let them go down easy. And this guy's, I mean, what do you have, 29 points last night, 5 assists. The thing I love about him, too, he handles the ball so much. He had 4 turnovers, and people say, that's a lot of turnovers. Not as much as he played 44 minutes, and he handles the ball on every possession. Mm. That's not a lot of turnovers.
Yeah.
I mean, look, he's a guy, like his size to be doing what he's doing, and he gets in the post a lot on other guards because his footwork is so impeccable that he pump fakes, he'll get you going this way, and here we go. Once I got you in the air, now you're mine. It's the Shai Gilgeous Alexander. Like, I'm going to make a move that gets you off your feet, and I'm just going to jump into you and get to the free throw line. Yeah.
Thank God Carl Anthony Towns is rebounding because 14 points last night. Didn't he have 10 in the closeout game
and
last
Chris
week?
Stapps got, they said he was sick, so he didn't return in the second half, right? I believe it was the second half. And then you're going, okay, so what's going on? Al Horford shutting him down? I mean, Al Horford's still a good defender.
Well, Ed knows what I think about Cat. I just think the dude is a stat machine. I don't think he's not that guy, man.
Best jump shooting big man of all time.
He's not that guy, though. He's just not. I mean, he's going to get you the stats, those empty stats. And then when you really need them, OG gets 29.
I think to a degree, you're correct on that. I've changed a little bit on him watching him this year. And maybe it's more... Maybe it's more the fandom of understanding who he is, the stuff he went through with his mom. He's been tougher out there. He hasn't been the shine away from it. Somebody shoved one of his teammates, and he was the first one in there. I like seeing that because Jimmy Butler used to say, man, he is soft, S-A-W-F-T, when he talked about Cat. But, I mean, I think Cat adds an element that most teams don't have, Ed, a big man that can shoot like that.
Yeah. And, you know, you look at the guys who step up during the playoffs, you know, talking about – choking. Everybody's writing about how the Celtics choked. The Knicks didn't win. The Celtics choked. That's fine. OG at 29. Brunson at 29. I mean, you step up at a time like this when you're trailing by 20. That's impressive to me. It really, and you know, they held Boston 16 points in the fourth quarter.
It's been 25 years, by the way, since we had two outright upsets of 9-point underdogs or more in the postseason.
You know what's impressive? Manny Machado is on an interview, and the reporter is holding an umbrella over him.
Yeah, somebody, are you kidding me? Somebody thanked him for something. I just saw a reporter was like, I just want to send a big thank you to Manny Machado, and then my Twitter refreshed, and now I can't find the damn story.
He's holding the umbrella. Yeah, he ain't holding no umbrella. You're not? Walk off now.
What, you wouldn't hold one for Gunner?
No.
Man, I'll hold two umbrellas. I'd hold the mic with my mouth. He'd just have to figure out what questions I want to ask. What, is that weird? Oh.
What end of the mic?
Does Rob would hold one for himself. Rob would have the umbrella over himself, and Gunner would be
out. Rob will appreciate this. I'll put the microphone behind my ear.
You wouldn't see it.
Look like a
Where's
big
the mic?
Like a big blunt.
Hidden mic. We had a new segment on Masson. Hidden mic with Jeremy Kahn.
Where is the mic? Look behind my ear. Hold on. It's going to take me a minute to get around that thing. Oh, there they are.
We had to get the grounds crew out. Pull your ears back like the tarp.
Yeah, you got to get some kids up there to roll it out. Don't fall underneath it.
Did I hear right that they called the president the ultimate commander yesterday when they were announcing that the commanders, he's mm-hmm. the ultimate commander. Now, he was part of the DC announcement for the draft.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't see that. I mean, maybe I was watching.
Oh, there it is right there?
Yeah.
Popped up right as I said something.
Oh, Roger Goodell, what a wonderful... get out.
Come on, put the mic down. Look at scumbag. Josh Harris, move the mic. Is that your forehead? Look at this.
The mic, you can barely see his face because the mic's blocking the whole damn thing. Move it.
410-583-1057, that's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed, what are your thoughts on establishments serving underage people? Are you hellfire? I know you're not for it, but are you hellfire and brimstone against it, or are you just they shouldn't do it?
Neither, actually. I mean, they shouldn't do it, obviously.
Right.
And most places are really responsible. I just think I feel bad for establishments a lot of times because, first of all, it's very tough to judge age with people around that age. You know, these kids who were, you know, I was.
It's, what about they know they're underage? That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Oh, no. That's
the different. Fake ID thing.
A good fake ID. Yeah. It's tough to, you know, tell how old people are now. And then, you know, you get busted because we had a fake. We showed me. Yeah, but he wasn't. He was, you know, he was 19, not 22.
But whatever. If you know they're 19 or 20.
No, you can't. It's against the law.
I'm asking because that's happening more and more lately.
Yeah.
I think they should have stopped serving underage kids once I turned 21. That's what I believe.
Hey, the best part of being old is it was 18 when I was that age. Well, I was literally in bars at 15.
God, was prohibition tough on you?
No, we still got drinks.
Well, drinking age back then was what, 18, wasn't it?
That's what he just said. Yeah, he was 18 for him. So, like, again, you think
my
about
mom said it was 18 for her.
What is it in France? Are they allowed to drink wine when they're 16?
I don't know. What is it? European kids drink wine. Absolutely. When they're kids.
Yeah, let me look this up. Like, European kids.
Ed didn't get the old joke.
You might want
to. Ed said it was 18 when he was young. I said, my mom said it was 18 for her, too.
You can be 18 in France.
18 in France.
It is 18.
But if you're 16 years old, if you're 16, French teens may order alcoholic beverages at restaurants in the presence of their adult guardians.
Right. See, I think when your guardian is there, if your parent, if you're 17, 18 years old, your parent wants you to drink some wine with them for dinner. That's their business.
Hey,
I got nothing to do with that.
Nobody likes to admit this, but like, you know, when I was a kid, we had the one mom in the neighborhood that would be like, hey, if you guys don't leave the house and you stay here, I don't care if you drink, you know, and that's happened. Yeah. I mean, my whole childhood was like that. Maybe that explains a lot of things. We always had the teen mom there. But like, again.
So that's different. Did you think that's different than going to an establishment?
Because I can't get in trouble.
Right.
Unless I leave, okay. Which I'm not allowed to do. You know?
I think it's okay. Like, for instance, let's say your house was that house,
mm-hmm.
and my kid was there. As long as I knew it,
yeah,
then that's fine. If you do it without checking
with
me. Well,
that's why we kept it from our parents, because they didn't know it.
There you go.
See?
Now you're cooking with Crisco.
Are you kidding me? My parents would be those parents. Come on over.
Why don't you? Your parents would get upset with the other parents because they didn't send alcohol home with them.
They're drinking mine.
Shovels at 6:45, but on the other side, the Ravens. It's funny. We talked about this yesterday almost like we talked it up, but we didn't know it. Reactions to Justin Tucker being released. Up next on The Fan.
Every decision we make has to be based on football. There's a lot of layers to that. You know, you've got a rookie kicker in here. You took him in the sixth round, early in the sixth round. He's a talented guy. Just from a football standpoint, salary cap, you know, all the different things that you just take into consideration. Whatever we decide to do over the next few weeks will be based on football.
It's John Harbaugh.
It's John Mayer.
And we were talking yesterday. If Justin Tucker's gone, this is really a football decision. This is not a football decision. I get why he's saying what he has to say, Ed, because you have to say that. But if it's a football decision, then there's competition in the summer and the best kicker is on the team. This goes beyond being an on-the-field football decision. It's a business, football business decision.
I totally agree with it. I found it very odd because you just had the conversation with a statement saying any decision will be a football decision. They're like, okay, so we're going to, then I assumed exactly what you just said, that once, you know, you have the training camp, there'll be a competition for, okay, they drafted a kicker, they think they picked another one up in the, as a walk-on, you'll have competition. What was the competition? it was yesterday we talked about this. Gone. So I mean, clearly it weighed into it. So
yeah, I talked to somebody yesterday that it confirmed that wasn't Justin Tucker's first release yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Are you upset that the story didn't end with a happy ending?
Oh boy,
it never ends.
Oh. Well, look, here's.
Well, I had someone on Facebook said the decision was tugging on the heartstrings of fans.
So you were, Joe, you were upset at the wording, or do you want to talk about this or no? The wording.
You should have just said, we've released Justin Tucker.
Okay, I can.
Because now you're getting all these other people. I mean, I don't care, but all these other people are saying, oh, the team's tone deaf, or they're not living up to the expectations that they sent. I'm only saying that because I don't feel like taking calls about it.
I'm not 100% positive on this, and Ed, you may know more than myself, but like, don't they have to word it this way? Because if they released him saying it's because of the accusations, then if nothing comes of this, wouldn't he have action against the team? Because that's the reason they released him and nothing happened?
Well, I don't know if it's true in this case because they can release him at any time for any reason. There's no, you know, right to be there. However, I think they would look really stupid. It would look really bad if they said they're releasing for this reason and then it comes out that, you know, hypothetically, say the whole thing was concocted and he didn't do any of it. Then you look terrible. You know, you look like you succumb to public pressure and you kick the guy off the team and maybe truncated his career. So, yeah. But I think they had to word it that way because if you just say we just released them, the next time they ever crack at you with the mic, it's going to be, well, what was the reason? And they're going to ask the questions anyway.
It's so weird,
just
though.
Just get it out of the way.
Like, it almost felt like they kind of set the tone with Harbaugh saying anything we do is going to be a football decision the other day, right? And and then you hear football decision being the words that are used in this article as well, or in this statement. And I feel like this is the narrative that they're trying to build because it's not like we're not cutting him because of anything else. This is football related. And you can do that with the season he just had it because he's the worst kicker in the league last year.
Yep. Next to it.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show. Want to hear from you. Do you think at once some point of his career, when this is all said and done, that Justin Tucker is in the Ring of Honor?
Oof. Ooh. No, I don't.
If you put him in the Ring of Honor, you better put Chris McCallister in the Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
Because Chris McCallister had nothing off the field like this.
No, he just...
Nothing off the field.
He was just a bit of a knucklehead.
Exactly. If you put Tucker in the Ring of Honor, then McCallister better go first.
Yeah, I mean, the difference is McCallister liked the party.
Yeah.
And Tucker...
Your coach didn't like him. That's the problem. The problem is John Harbaugh hates Chris McCallister. That's the difference.
The other thing with this, too, and I had somebody send, I think all of us, a message, or maybe it was just Rob and I on social media asking about his ability to get in the Hall of Fame. And here's what I'll tell you, and working with Scott, who voted on the Hall of Fame for years, they are not supposed to look at anything off the field. Now, you look at certain guys that are in the Hall of Fame, like O.J. Simpson, and you go, oh, my God. But even though they're not supposed to look at the things off the field, Darren Woodson's name came up, and his statistics across the board are Hall of Fame stats.
And he's not in the Hall of Fame.
And he can't even sniff the Hall of Fame because of all the sexual.
Darren Woodson?
Darren Sharper. Sharper. I did that before. Jesus.
Yeah, Sharper.
Get the wrong. Darren Sharper.
Yeah.
Jamie Sharper's brother.
And Darren Sharper's a Hall of Famer. Statistically, he's a Hall of Famer, dude. He was a bad man.
The only reason I bring it up is that they're not supposed to look anything off the field, but the human element takes over when you're voting. I can't vote for that guy.
I always go to this, Ed. You and I have been in a lot of courtrooms. It's always like this. Erase that from the record. Yeah, you can erase it from the record, but you ain't erase it from my memory.
Yeah, that's why they do it, obviously. I mean, you send these, you throw these things out there, and then, you know, to strike that, and the jury would not consider this during. Oh, come on. I mean, obviously, they do it for that reason. That's just stupid.
But I don't, like, again, putting somebody in the Ring of Honor, I think it's easier to leave somebody in the Ring of Honor when something goes wrong than to put them in after the fact.
Oh, of course it is.
Yeah. So I don't know. Man, this whole thing sucks.
What I think happens is they wait, there's a good period of time goes by. If this thing, you know, dries up and blows away, gets out of the news, I think eventually he'll get in. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what he did, what he didn't do, how many are I don't know what anything. But as time goes on, I think if this just goes away, if they settle out of court, if people just forget it, nothing else happens, I have to put him in the Ring of Honor. I mean,
they better put Chris McAllister in the Ring of Honor.
I'm with you. I love you.
I mean, honestly, between McAllister or Humphrey. Best cornerback ever on this football team.
Yeah.
One or the other.
Yeah.
And I think they both did it different styles, but McAllister was the definition of a shutdown, lockdown cornerback.
Absolutely. 100%. No, I'm with you. I really liked him.
I think Deion Sanders is the best cornerback to ever play for the Ravens. See, I can make that statement because he's one of the greatest cornerbacks of all time, and he had a cup of coffee with
technically
the Ravens.
Speaking, yeah, but he played safety.
And Rod Woodson.
He plays the... He played safety, too. Trippy in Baltimore. What's up, Trippy?
Hello.
Hey, man. What's up with you, man? Talking about hello, man. You 0-2, man. I keep talking about
I love when you do this. I love when Trippy does this. Trippy goes, you're 0-2, and you did see one of the games went to overtime, right?
I know, but look, check my tweet yesterday, man. I said I got both underdogs winning tomorrow. Only thing I'm mad, I went to sleep early, and I woke up. It was like 11 o'clock, man. I missed the best. But anyway, look, let me tell you something about Tucker, right? Like, I don't condone none of that stuff. I don't know what happened. I really don't care. But, like, let's be real, right? Because I go off with fans and people say, right, a lot of these fans, y'all set up here and say, why is he still on the team? Now he ought to tell y'all question what EDC say. Do it mad tonight? Like, look at this, right? Tucker is the only Ravens player that still was on that Super Bowl team. It might have been time for a change, man. And another thing, let me tell you something, because I played kick in high school. I don't never want to hear nobody say kickers ain't important on the team. Hello? Because all y'all was doing crying. Yo, Justin Tucker, Mr. Field Goal, we lost this and that. And the last thing I want to say is, give me the loop. Y'all have a great Tuesday, y'all.
Yeah, he's Trippy. A bad boy.
I wonder how it was being a kicker on the Edmondson football team. Man, you ain't getting no love.
Yeah.
And Edmondson, man, you ain't getting no love.
I forgot he was a kicker.
The quarterback, the running back, the linebacker, the guy that touched the quarterback, they got did you all even kick other than kick it off? What's your longest field goal, Trippy?
Yeah, you got to score touchdowns to kick an extra point.
I like Buster Trippy's chops. I heard he was actually a pretty decent kicker. 410-583-1057 is the number. We give out shovels at 6:45, but I want to hear from you on the other side. Do you take issue with the Ravens' description of why they released Tucker? We know our producer does. Do you? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Shovels at 6:45, but right now, the Ravens released a statement about the Justin Tucker release, and some people have taken exception to it. This is a statement from Eric DaCosta. Sometimes football decisions are incredibly difficult, and this is one of those instances. Considering our current roster, we have made the tough decision to release Justin Tucker. Justin created many significant and unforgettable moments in Ravens history. His reliability, focus, drive, resilience, an extraordinary talent made him one of the league's best kickers for over a decade. We are grateful for Justin's many contributions while playing for the Ravens. We sincerely wish him and his family the very best in the next chapter of their lives. You got a problem with that, Jeremy?
I personally don't. I mean, I think they're trying to word it to cover all of their bases, but no, I mean, I fully expected this to happen. I was wondering why it was taking so long, and it's going to be a post-June 1st cut as well. Right. So, I mean, I have the financials for that if you guys want to get into that at all. But, like, again,
you're saving $4.2 million in cap.
Yeah. I mean, because he wasn't owed anything else except the bonuses that he'd already hit. You know what I mean? Like, so there was no, like, signing bonus money left over or anything like that. When you hit your bonuses, the escalators that go in, you got to get paid that, and that, of course, affects the cap as well.
Yeah, you got a problem with that statement?
No, this is with him. I mean, this is just one of those things. We all knew this was coming. We assumed this was coming. I mean, because when we're out, we get asked the same questions, I'm sure. And people always, what do you think happens to Tucker? I said, he's gone. He's going to be gone. Got to be gone. And then it happened. So that's like, okay.
I mean, it was a matter of time.
It was just a matter of time. Was anybody, I mean, anybody surprised by this? No. He was next to last in the league last year in field goal accuracy. Field goals made.
And he's the most accurate kicker of all time. How crazy is that?
Like, yeah, I know. But so, it's just a fact.
So if the off-the-field things don't come out, do they still release him?
I don't release him, but they'd be looking for a new kicker.
I think if the off-the-field things don't come out, he's in a competition in camp.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I agree with
that. He's not released now.
No.
So this is not, it is a football decision, football business decision. Now, Joe, you took exception to the release, am I right?
Not from a personal standpoint. I'm just saying you opened yourself up to criticism for no reason. Just say you released him. You don't have to say that it was a football decision. You don't have to say it was because of the investigation. Just say we've released kicker Justin Tucker.
You don't like the considering our current roster, we made the tough decision to release Justin Tucker part.
Yeah, I mean, they can spin it all they want, but it is like the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
Just some of the other things that people have said. Myron Medcalf from ESPN. Did Justin Tucker write this? Mina Kimes. Was this tone necessary? Jared Durbin from CBS Sports. The Ravens want to make very sure that you know they're not actually sticking to their self-professed organizational zero-tolerance policy, and they're only releasing Justin Tucker because he sucked last year.
I'm telling you this, the Ravens have taken a national beating, Joe, over the whole zero tolerance thing. They've taken, the last week since the draft, they have taken a beating over this whole zero tolerance thing.
Yeah, and that's what happens when you say things like that, because things happen in life, and things that, you know, are kind of gray. And this, I don't know how gray this was, but things happen, and there's an accusation made sometime down the road. You put yourself in a box.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what happened here. So, look, this is no surprise. He wasn't playing well. Probably had a lot to do with what's going on in his head. So, yeah.
That made it easier. Get it. It made it easier.
Yeah, it made it easier. But this was, everybody knew this was coming. I mean, everybody. So, like, let's, you know, no one's surprised. It's time to move on. And, you know, to support Joe's point, you know, I've had to release a lot of people in my career. And the way I would word it was almost very similar to them. I never gave them a reason. Because you can't. The attorneys would murder you.
It would. The legal team would
kill you. Because all you have to say is, we're moving in another direction. Thank you for your service. And, you know, and you give them choices. And they could, whatever. But it never point to something. Because they will use that, you know, because there's a lawsuit coming. They're going to use that. And if you give them the ammunition, your legal team's going to murder you.
Let's go to Rashawn in Baltimore. What's up, Rashawn?
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
Man, I woke up to the sad news, man. You know, I haven't felt like this since February 27th, 2003, you know, when the Cowboys released Emmitt Smith. So, you know, it was one of my favorite Cowboy players. Justin Tucker was one of my favorite players in the Ravens, and I'm going to miss him, man. But I understand at the end of the day, it's just the business. And the guy, like you say, he was next to last and kicking last year. So, with these allegations. But I'm just glad I got a chance to meet him his last game though in Buffalo. You know, he stopped and talked to me and Dustin, took a picture with us at the hotel lobby.
Sounds like you're lobbying Buffalo, for him to go on the road with you now when you guys go out. Like,
I love that. I mean, to be clear, these allegations up, man. I mean, other than that, man, I love to hang out with the guy, though. You know, whatever's going on, you know, because I don't need that type of negative stuff around me right now, you know. Can't point my reputation.
I mean, you'd be willing to pick up the
your
trash
reputation.
Around him. Yeah,
what is your reputation? You know what, man? I'm gonna leave you alone, Sean. I'm gonna just leave that. I'm gonna leave that to off the air, man. Some things should be left off there.
Talk about his rep.
So I'm gonna leave it off air. All right. Am I soulless?
Yes.
Because I feel no kind of way about this. I don't feel anything. Well, I'm with you.
It's funny. I don't either. I think because you know it's coming. It's just like it's been coming for a long time. You just waited for, okay, here it is. And okay.
You said it has or he has?
Both.
Okay, sorry.
Jay and Tillman Allen, help me out. What's up, Jay?
Hey, good morning, guys. Listen, I think the Ravens did the right thing for the betterment of the team, because here's the bottom line is, if you got conflicts with people trying to sue you for whatever, and there was not one but 16 or more, the thing is, he's got that on his mind. Last year, you could see it in his you know, stats as far as kicking accurate field goals. The other thing is, and the main thing is, if he was to stay on the team in the locker room this year coming up, is there going to be a conflict of interest with the players and him? Or, well, like when he goes out to kick it, well, has he got that on his mind? Is he going to make it? What are we going to do? We're busting our, you know, butts to get him in field goal position, and he's got so much on his mind. Is he going to help us by making it? So there's a good thing by him being released and picking up the new guy.
Let me ask you this too, and I'm just throwing this up to the group, like, Justin Tucker getting released, isn't that the better option if you're going to bring in Loop and you don't want something looming over his head? Like, what happens if Tucker comes in and he's just making everything? Like, he looks like old Tucker, and then now you're waiting for the NFL to tell you if he's suspended. Now you have that looming over his head. Oh, is Tucker coming back? Am I beating? Like, you spent a draft pick on this kicker. I think you want to see what he can do.
Well, he has some competition. Who's the guy they brought in, Joe?
Wyoming kicker, John Hoyland.
Yeah. Oh.
He was 13 for 20 last year at Wyoming.
You didn't say John Hoyland was here.
Yes, one John Hoyland.
Yeah.
O's in Minnesota tonight. We'll talk O's Twins at 7 o'clock, but on the other side, Ed Norris, we're giving out shovels.
Yeah, I'm going to give one to, I think I'm going to give it to the National Hockey League for a reason that you're not going to expect.
If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter at BBMS1057 The Fan. Shovels next. Time to give out shovels. If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. I don't know what's going on with you and NHL, Ed, but it's your second straight day having an NHL-related shovel.
Yeah. Well,
are you too mad? You too upset with one another?
Yeah, we're having a disagreement.
That's normally
right
your
now.
Boo.
I know. This goes to NHL officiating. And it just goes to what we talk about all the time with officiating in sports. I think whatever is a penalty in the regular season is a penalty in the postseason. Whatever's allowed should be allowed. You know, all these things. You know, a foul in the last 2 minutes of the game is the same foul in the first 2 minutes. What's happened in the NHL, and there's a lot being written about this now, is that we all know hockey's a rough game, and the NHL is very physical. The playoffs are really physical. It kind of makes them fun because it gets the intensity is wild. It's such an exciting game. I mean, obviously I'm biased, but I don't know how more people don't love this game. We saw two games over the weekend decided on 3 seconds and 1.6 seconds left in a game. It's physical, like it's crazy. But now the article by The Athletic, is NHL playoff physicality out of hand? And I think it is in the playoffs. It's gotten to be where, I mean, the Hurricanes lost their goalkeeper, Frederick Anderson. Bad goal-mouth collision, should have been called. Brandon Hagel couldn't play for the Lightning in the elimination game because Aaron Ekblad. He literally skated up on him and hit him with a forearm right to the face. Just, there was nothing, he didn't even try to hide it. I'd say John Tavares to the Maple Leafs took an elbow to the head. Last night, the Maple Leafs goalkeeper was knocked out of the game. And this is a goalie. I mean, you talk about something that is usually, you know, sacrosanct. You don't touch the goalies. But Stolarz, he took an elbow to the head again, another elbow. They're using like MMA tactics here in hockey. And what's really making me angry is not the obvious that you're hurting people, because Stolarz may have a concussion, but then he's out. But if you allow this and you can take out premier players, like, you know, a goalie or Nikita Kucherov or somebody like this, you know, it changes the way the game is, the outcome of the game. And are we looking to have the toughest team or the most thuggish team? This is not like, you know, this is not organized crime. You should have the most talented team win these games. It's got to be ridiculous. They're knocking the stars out of the game with these outrageous hits that are not called. And I think it's really hurting the game.
Jeremy, your shovel.
My shovel, I'm changing it because Rob and I were just talking. I watched a video on Twitter, and they were asking Packers fans about the Dez Bryant catch that wasn't. I'm giving it to those Packers fans. The first guy goes, I'm not answering that question. When he was asked, did Dez Bryant make that catch? And if you guys remember, Dez went up with two hands, came down with 2 feet, dove towards the end zone.
Football move.
This is all one motion. And all these Packers. I love the one guy that goes, well, according to the official, man, whoever believed any official at any damn game with a call they made? And now you're going, well, that's what he said. So it is. It's like, it was so stupid. And I think that one was actually worse than the Calvin Johnson one, where he caught it and he had the ball palmed and he puts the ball down on the ground with the hand that he has it in and it falls out and they go, well, he didn't complete the catch to the ground. It's like, come on.
No, man. You said something. He was penalized.
Yeah. Dez Bryant was penalized for being too athletic. And I knew it was a catch when I was working with Garceau and he was arguing with me and he was smiling the whole time as he kept saying, letter of the law. Look, this is the rules. And he's smiling over there. Nobody else could see it. And I'm like, you son of a... Come on, man. You knew that was a catch. Guy was cheated.
my show goes to people who don't understand facts. What was that?
Yeah, man, it's the latest.
What was that, a half shovel?
oh, damn.
You know, sometimes we hear things and we ignore it because, you know, people sometimes are foolish and... You just ignore it because you can't address everything you hear or respond to everything you hear. But this came in a different form yesterday, so I have to address it. So someone inboxed me and said that my opinion of the Orioles has changed since I started working for the Orioles. I said, when was that, sir? He said, 2022. I said, 2022. I said, that when my opinion changed. He said, yeah, when you start working for the Orioles. Let me give you guys some facts. I started working for The Fan in 2011. I started working for Masson in 2010. So when did my opinion change about the Orioles? When they got good? When they started getting good? When I said to you, who wasn't the leader in the clubhouse? When you guys got upset because they were trading the closer, and I said the closer on his team is already here. Is that when I changed my opinion? Because I got physically closer to the team and my exposure to the team changed? Because I knew more? But I started working for them in 2010. I worked for them before I worked here. So how did my opinion change when I got hired, when I was hired 11 years before this guy thought I was working for him? What are you talking about? I've been working for Masson since before here. No, my opinion is different from yours. Because I might know a little bit more than you know. Do I work for the Ravens when you all wanted John Harbaugh fired and I say you can't fire him, he's too good? Is my opinion different? Do I work for the Ravens because some of you criticize Eric DaCosta and I don't? Do I work for them? I don't know why it is. Every time you disagree with someone, there has to be an insult that follows. I work for them, so I'm soft. Would I criticize players on the team? Is that being soft on them? They're players I tell you openly. I don't want that guy. I didn't like the signing of O'Neal. Is that being soft? I'm criticizing the GM. I don't like the signing. I just don't get it. My opinion is not your opinion. It has nothing to do with me being soft because I work for Masson. Something that I've done longer than I worked here. For 15 years. I've been there for 15 years. But all of a sudden now, my opinion on it. No, they're good. I got to ask a question. What was the question I got asked on Twitter, Jeremy, that you saw?
The guy asked you, is this team better than the team last year on paper? To which...
What about the injuries part?
Oh, yeah, minus the injury.
Minus the injury. How in the world can I answer a question?
Yeah, answer that one.
Minus injury? Come on. And because I didn't answer it his way...
He writes it back and he goes, okay, back in January, was this team better on paper than it's? You asked the same damn question.
So because I didn't give the answer he want, oh, I can't answer. I can't answer. It's a foolish question, dude. You can't ask. It's a foolish question. Minus the injury. The injuries are the injuries. Right now, it's a bad roster. It is.
I guess they should
have. Because you have a lot of injuries.
They should have had 12 starting pitchers instead of 10 this
season.
Yeah,
like, what are you talking about? That's a foolish question. Well, the national guys are talking about it. No, who? Name them. Name the national guys. I watch MLB Network all the time, and I listen to MLB radio going home. I don't hear anybody talking about that.
Are you talking about DeRosa? Because he was on the Ryan Ripken show, and he was asked directly about the Orioles. Is that what you're talking about? Because he's a national guy? Who knows, man? Like, people make up their minds, and that's how things are. Even when you show them information that gives them, like, this is how things are. This is the reason why. Here's the info. I don't believe that.
Exactly. I'm trying to tell you. You got some guy that lives in another country telling you there's something going on in the clubhouse. I ain't seen this guy. Well, how do you know what's going on? You live in another country, man. We had yesterday Trippy telling us what somebody said on the podcast. Who was the guy? I don't remember his name. How could he tell you inside information when he's on the outside next to you? How can he give you inside information? What are we talking about here? He knows as much about the team as you know. But you believe that because it fits what you want to believe. That's all it is. 410-583-1057 is the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show. By the way, Mike Elias will join the show at 9 o'clock as well.
Go ahead. The other thing is, like, if Rashawn had said that, then there'd be more validity to it because Rob's been giving him free tickets for 2 years. So he's around the team all the time.
And all the inside scoops.
Yeah.
The jerk. Cameron Cusick, who's become a Tuesday favorite on this show, will join us at 8 o'clock. But on the other side, Orioles Twins baseball up next on The Fan.